in this service. You know, God knew exactly who'd be here. We have a lot of people that are out sick. There are some folks of ours that got in a very bad car accident. They are in the hospital. We have our poor little Rita Gilbreth. She is in the hospital with pneumonia. They're about to transfer her to the ICU. And so there's some very serious things. There's some people very, very sick. And so I am going to begin to pray. You know, I have you stand every week because it's something that you need to see yourself doing. You need to see that you are standing, and you need to understand that God made it to where you could stand. Nothing was able to take you down this week. The devil was not able to do what he wanted to do with you this week. So I'm going to ask you to right now just begin to open up that heart of yours to receive the word. You know, before you got here this morning, the devil was working on you, trying to get you to not come. He was working on you to get you to say, well, I can go next week, or I can this, or I can that. I just want to tell you right now, it's not by accident that you're here. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person under the sound of my voice right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you are meeting them right where they're at. Lord, if they're in the middle of trouble, God, you've met them right in that trouble. Lord, if they're in the middle of depression, God, you have met them in depression. Lord, if they have gotten a bad doctor's report, Lord, you've met them right up in that place. Lord, I thank you right now that you meet us where we're at this morning. God, I thank you that you're walking down every aisle. Lord, you're searching every heart. God, you're seeing what we have need of. Lord, you're seeing the things that are troubling us. So right now, Father God, we commit ourselves to you. Every problem, every distraction, every irritation, every hurt, every bit of discouragement. You know, I feel like somebody this morning, you've been telling yourself, I don't have anybody that I can depend on. I feel like I have nobody. And God wants to tell you this morning, you've got me, and that's all that you need. That's all that you need. Lord, I thank you right now. And God, I turn this service over to you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Some of y'all are new here, and some of y'all are pretty new to my style of preaching. And you'll know in about 10 minutes whether you love me or hate me. That's a guarantee I can give you. And I'm going to keep it real. If the truth offends you, get ready to be offended. So that's about all I can say about that. But no, in all seriousness, we're glad that you're here this morning. I want you to know, if you don't hear another word that I say, I want you to know that God loves you. God isn't mad at you. God's not looking for a way to make your life miserable. He is looking and searching and trying to find every way that he can turn things around for you. He cares about what you're going through. And I was in a funeral this week. And I am going to keep this very real. I don't like to go to funerals. Anybody else with me on that? Because they're sad, and I'd rather go to something happy. But you can't always do what you want to. How many of you know that? You can't always do what you want. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there because we live in a generation where a lot of folks, they just say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then they get their life all messed up. Then they get mad at God and start blaming God for all their problems when God didn't do it. You just do what you want to for a season, and then you're stuck with your consequences. But I went to a funeral, and the pastorship part of me, there's a part of it that just never leaves. It don't matter where I'm at. I could be on vacation. I could be at the restaurant. I could be anywhere. And there's a part of me that is just, it's just how it is. And I personally believe, just personally, that out of respect for whatever you're at, if you're in a service, if you're in a graduation, if you're in a whatever you're up in, I believe that just out of respect, you should have your cell phone turned off. How many of you with me? Let's take this opportunity to turn them off. So anyways, I'm sitting here and we're at this funeral, and I'm just feeling awful. If I see somebody cry, I'm going to be crying right with him, and that's just how I am. And it doesn't matter if it's my worst enemy or whoever. I can't handle when people cry because there's something inside of me that wants everybody to be okay, that wants everybody to not be sad and all this stuff. So we get at this funeral, and it is in one of the most solemn parts of the funeral. And can you guess what happens? Somebody's phone goes off. That's what it was. And it went on for quite a long time. How many of you know that song? It went on for a while. And I could see this whole section over here, and the guy couldn't find his phone. Then when he found it, he couldn't figure out how to turn it off. And I'm just like, in my human head, and I'm sorry, but I have a human head. Your pastor's a human here, and I'm going to think thoughts that sometimes aren't real nice. So my first thought was, how rude. How disrespectful. This poor family is trying to bury their loved one, and this whole song has just played like a very good portion of the song. And then I looked over at Dad. It was a packed house, and me and him are just like little sardines in there, and we're both sitting next to each other. And I glance over at him, and his little brown beady eyes go like this. The pastoring hasn't left him either. And I went home, and I have meditated on that all week long. And what I thought was an irritation and a rudeness, I actually, by the time that I've meditated on that, I'm actually thankful for it because it's ministered to me all day long, all week long. And the title of my message this morning is Life Interrupted. Life Interrupted. I believe that believers all over the place, we really need to sharpen our pencils about what life really is, because I know that we have a vision of what we thought our life was going to be, right? We have those things that we thought it was going to be. We had those visions of we wanted to do this and we wanted to have this job and it was going to work out just this way. We wanted to get married and we wanted to have this many kids and we wanted to do this. And, you know, we wanted to live a long life and full of no health problems and all these things. We had our soulmate. We wanted to grow old together. There's so many things that life gets interrupted with. And what I'm here to minister to you this morning is life is interrupted. It is. And I want to minister to you this morning how to handle those interruptions, how to handle them. Because the interruptions are actually sometimes God interrupting your life. And what we want to blame on the devil sometimes is actually God allowing situations to go on in our lives to get us, to guide us through where we're supposed to be. And at the end of your life, God wants to be able to say to each and every person, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And so go with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 3. And I'm speaking about life interrupted. And you know, maybe your life has been interrupted. Maybe it's been interrupted by a sickness that you did not ever think that you would be in bad health. Maybe it was a loss of employment. Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a divorce. It could be so many things. Maybe, you know, you had in your mind the perfect family. You had what you thought was the perfect family, and now none of you speak. Maybe, you know, whatever it could be, I can't sit here and say all the things that could be going on in your life, but what I know is that people's lives have been interrupted, and there's a part of you that's kind of aching on the inside because some of those interruptions are really hard to move forward with, and I get that. I feel that on every level that I could. I have felt that way myself. If I'm not careful on my bad days, I go to a bad place in my mind where I'm not well emotionally. And so I believe that if more people would get behind the pulpit and speak truth, I believe that people could be free. I believe that people could actually go on to have a life that they really want, a life that they are proud of, a life that they love. There's too many believers and they hate their life. They hate their life. They're sad all the time. They're mad. They're depressed. They're indifferent. They're numb. And so I want to speak about this morning. You know, for those of you that you don't really know just a tremendous amount about the ministry, I began pastoring full-time at July the 28th of 2019, and I will always remember that day because that day is actually my oldest son Carson's birthday. And so when I was 7 years old, I got on my knees and I asked God into my heart, and I could feel God from that day on. I could feel His presence. I could hear His voice. I would know what He wanted me to do. Now, did I always do it? No, I didn't. But I could certainly, there was something inside of me that was different, that wasn't there before. And I have always known that I would be in the ministry. I always knew that I would be a pastor. But I had an idea of what I thought that it was going to be. And so I made decisions around that idea. And when I became pastor in 2019, it took me by surprise. I did not expect it. And because it was something that I didn't expect, I went on a whirlwind with myself and with the Lord and with a lot of things. And if you ever go back, if you ever want a real good laugh, I'm talking real good one, get on YouTube, look at some of my earliest messages. I was madder than a stinking hornet. And it showed in the way that I preached. I mean, I didn't even have to refer to notes because it was just in my mind. And Joe, it was like it just burned inside of me, but I was mad about it. And there was an anger there that I struggled with. And it wasn't mad at being a pastor because I love the ministry, but it was an anger there because it wasn't what I thought my life was going to be when I thought it was going to be. I had a vision in my brain of how things would come about. And when it didn't happen that way, I just almost couldn't take it. And so I struggled with myself. And now I can look back 6 years later and I can honestly say God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. I really want to love on that person where you're in that place and you're saying, this is not what I expected. I want to love on you this morning because what I can tell you is that if you will give your expectations to God, God will give you something that you never could have expected because it's so high or up there that you couldn't even fathom it. You need to hold on to the fact that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. And whatever you can think, God wants to do it more. He wants to do it bigger. He wants to do it mightier. He wants to do it better. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says here, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. One more time, y'all say it with me. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. There's got to be a commitment there. There's some commitments. People are afraid of commitment. Dad was asking me the other day, Kel, do you want to come over on such and such day and eat dinner? And I said, I don't want to commit to anything right now, but let me get back with you. And I got in my car, and I'm like, what have I become? I'm afraid to commit to even dinner with my own family because I'm like, but I also don't like to tell people I'm going to do something and not do it. But commit. There's a commitment. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to Him. You need to know what you feel like God's wanting you to do. You need to know a direction. If you don't know it, get with Him. He'll tell you. You say, well, how do I get with Him? Look here, get in His presence. Get in His presence. That in His presence don't involve your cell phone. It don't involve the Netflix. It don't involve the Facebook. Get in His presence. And however you do that, wherever it is. And let me just tell you, this is just a building right up here. This is a building. And y'all are actually the church. So don't think that you've got to come in the building. I mean, you know, I get it. There's a place of peace. And I feel peaceful when I come in my church also. But let me just tell you something. I can feel His presence, Bobby, anywhere. If I tell myself, I'm going to get in the presence of God, that can happen anywhere for me. Now, I don't forsake gathering. I don't forsake church. But Moni, I have learned that when it comes to the presence of God, that can happen anywhere. And when you don't have direction, get in His presence. Seek Him. He will begin to minister to you what He wants. And you know, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And here's what I knew. I knew that I was born to be a pastor. I knew that's what I was made to do. And I had to be at that place of peace and acceptance that it happened when it was supposed to happen. God wants somebody to hear this morning. One of the things that you will grieve over the most in life is the idea of what you thought it was going to be like. It's hard to grieve. It's hard to do. And I have learned in my own life, I cannot speak for other people, but I've learned in my own life that one of the, probably the biggest thing that I've ever just had to really grieve over is what I thought it was going to be. And that hurts a lot of times. But here's what I can tell you. God is so good that, Miss Brenda, the things that I thought, I went ahead and grieved over them. And what I have today is so much more meaningful, so much more whole. It's made me a lot better. There's been so much things that I could not have been in any type of whatever without that bad, without the trial. Trial has a way of bringing you to a place where you can get with the Lord on a whole new level. But if you're sitting here and you're saying, I can't get over what's happened in my life, you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to move on. You have to accept it. Understand that God has something for you. It's not the end. So, I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm going to give up what I thought, and I'm just going to go with what You have. I'm going to go with what You have. Somebody needs to listen to this morning. God, I'm going to give up what I thought, and I'm going to go with what You have. Lord, I'm going with You. I'm committing myself to this. And because there's that commitment there, you know, it takes a lot of guts to commit to something that you didn't expect. Now, Dad and Mom, they went to the doctor with Casey and I, and they were told two times. They were having boys both times. Guess what? They went in the hospital expecting little boys. Guess what they came out with? Little girls. He hasn't treated me badly because I'm not a boy. What am I saying? There's times where you're going into parts of your life and you're expecting something and then it don't happen that way, or something is totally not what it was supposed to be and you're all irritated over it, and for no other reason than it just wasn't what you expected. Well, you know what? Maybe what you're going to get is better than what you expected. Can we think like that? Can we alter our thinking and turn that way of thinking around? See, some of us are so mad that it didn't happen the way we thought, we can't get over it to understand that what's coming is better than what you thought. Is there a little difficulty and a little rough road there in between? Absolutely. But God's got something better. And let's focus on it. So commit to the Lord whatever you do. And then here's a promise. And your plans will succeed. And your plans will succeed. Years ago, this is no joke. This is the table. I'll never get rid of this table. This is the table that the food ministry was started with. This one. It's 3 foot long. Don't tell me that God doesn't have a bigger vision than what we can think, because that's where it all started. And in my pea brain, all I wanted to do, okay, all I wanted to do was feed the single moms in this church, because at that time, there was a lot of them. But, Moni, here's what I knew. If I wanted to be successful being a pastor, I just had to give up what I thought and just let him do what he wants. So I said, Lord, I'm going to set the table outside, and I'm going to put the few leftovers that we got, I'm going to put them out there and let people know they can come get them. Well, it wasn't long. I got the 8-foot tables. Put one of them out there. Then it wasn't long after that, I had to put two of them out there. Well, then it wasn't long after that, God just kept directing me, and he got me in with different people, and before I knew it, it was a community-wide thing. And people would say, how did this happen? And I would say, I don't know. It's God. You know how many times people have tried to give me credit? I don't want none of that credit, because it wasn't me, and I can tell you that. And I don't feel any type of way over it. That was all the Lord. All God. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In his heart, a man plans his course. It's not bad to be a planner, as long as you know that God's going to direct your steps. It says, but the Lord determines his steps. Some of us have trouble understanding that God wants to determine your steps. He wants the right to come in and say, okay, here's your commitment that you gave me. You committed to this. Now I want to order those steps. I want to determine the steps. If you're going to go to Branson, Missouri, there's lots of ways to get there. God wants to decide how you're going to get there. Okay? He wants to determine the steps. I had 14 steps. 14 stairs in my old house. Guess what's not going to be in the new one, Joe? Steps. They ain't going to be there. You know why? Because my 40-year-old self don't need to be hiking up there. I was worried. I had little kids when I bought that house, and I was so worried about them falling down the stairs. I was the only one that ever fell down them 3 times in slow motion. That's how I know there was 14 of them. God wants to determine your steps. How many of you know that there's different size steps? You can get you some steep steps. You can get you some not so steep steps. You can get some steps with purple on them. You can see. Can God determine your steps in here this morning? Does he have the right in your life to do that? Because life is very interrupted. It's very interrupted. If you will give God, come in here and determine my steps. Lord, I will do this. This is what you have for me. That's what I want to do. But Lord, order those steps. Go with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. prevails. As I told you, my plan was to just feed single moms. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Can you just accept that God's purpose is going to be bigger than what you planned? I'm going to say that one more time because that's really a beautiful thing. Can you just accept that God's purpose is going to be so much bigger than what you planned on? God's purpose is going to be bigger than what you planned. Don't get all salty with God just because He did something that you didn't expect and you didn't plan. He's going to complete it. At the end, it's God's purpose that prevails. It's God's purpose that prevails. We don't always like that. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, sometimes the interruptions come through a trial. And we want to think that trials are just so awful. Trials are opportunities. Trials are opportunities. Trials are opportunities. Opportunities. Oh my goodness. You're going through life. Your life gets interrupted. Here you are and you're sitting. Oh, I finally got this that I've always worked so hard for. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, this happens. That happens. All this stuff. And you get tempted to get irritated. You get tempted to get irritated. Let me tell you, you have a hard time crying if you're laughing about that stuff. You have a hard time crying if you're laughing about it. Look here, all them people, they had to take a little break of that crying for just a second. Because you know what? It didn't matter that we was in a funeral, we was all laughing about that. Why? Because it was funny. Somebody said, I'm just glad that ringtone wasn't Highway to Hell. I never thought about that. I was thinking, oh my God, that would have been awful. See, I'm going to wake you up one way or the other. But life is very interrupted and trials are just opportunities, guys. They're opportunities. They're opportunities. I was sitting at a soccer game yesterday. I'm going to keep this real with you because, see, I believe about preaching where we live. How many of you got a temper? Praise God, we got some honest people in here today. Glory. I was sitting in my lawn chair watching Carson Paul play soccer. How many of you know that soccer is a contact sport? Okay. It has always been one. We were playing soccer. They were playing soccer. I ain't playing nothing. I'm going to sit there. And as God is my witness, this adult, okay, if you're an adult in here, I expect you to act like an adult. Now, I understand there's a two-year-old inside of everybody, but please act your age. I have to tell my kids that all the time, act your age. And I was sitting there watching this game. I never liked soccer till my kid played it. Now I'm like, yeah, I like that. I like watching my little kid play. He's going to always be little to me because he's my baby. And I'll be danged if this mom, my kid bumped into her kid a few times. If you got your mom goggles on, you're following me here. Your mom goggles are when your child can do no wrong and it's everybody else's child. They're all in the wrong, okay? So here I am in the lawn chair and this mom gets up and she goes on the field and she goes, she gets in this little kid's face. I guess it was her kid. She goes, I will pay you $20 if you punch number 7 in the face. And I was like, thank God, I don't have my pastor shirt on because I'm about to show out. And I was sitting there and I looked at the other person and I said, was that a Fig Newton of my imagination? Was that just said? They said, yeah, they want to punch your kid in the face. And I literally said this to myself, trials are an opportunity. Now, I have the opportunity to go to jail. I have the opportunity to act like a pastor and to act like a Christian. Now, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this next week, but yesterday I felt like just letting God deal with the people. Now, I get it. Why am I telling you all that funny story? I'm telling you that because a lot of these trials that can really get you and mess you up, they can get you and mess you up because they really land very close to home. I'd rather somebody do something to me, but you do it to my kid or my dad or you talk about my husband, uh-uh. I was saying, God, please don't help me lose my religion. When I'm trying not to lose it, here's what I'll say, the first words out of my mouth, so I can keep myself on track. I'm a pastor and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'll just get that out there because I will have a harder time showing out. Because, see, I don't need $20 to punch her back. I'll do that for free. But I said, I'm a pastor. I tell another coach, I'm a pastor. And I was sitting there thinking, and I'm going to act like one today, and I'm not happy about it. But I'm a pastor. And you need to have a word with that other mama over there. Because, see, I don't believe in putting little kids up to domestic violence at the age of 8. Amen. Sherry has got that part of the ministry where we don't speak of. Every pastor needs one. I'm kidding. Don't send me your hate mail. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Sometimes we can't see what God's purpose is. Sometimes we can't see what's really going to happen. I remember when I was pregnant with Carson Paul, I was standing right at the front door, and I was 9 months pregnant, no joke. Just felt big as a house. And you know what? When it's July and you're big as a house, all of your humor is gone. You're not taking nothing great. And it was my job that Sunday, now this was like 14 years ago, to be the door greeter. Now, I can tell you that a pastor, whenever you want to, and I left 2 spots open for door greeting this month. I really want y'all to get involved in your church. But when you have a door greeter, one of the jobs is you want somebody that's going to be happy greeting all the people. And they're in a good mood, and that's going to be the first impression of the church, is your door greeter. Cecilia, I got it there. I was there, big old thing, and I was sobbing, letting everybody into the church, just crying. Dad walks through the foyer, and he goes, what is going on? I can't have you crying as we're letting people in. What's the problem? And I said, I'm about to have this baby, and I don't know who's going to watch him. I can't find anybody to watch him. The town had like 1 daycare. We didn't qualify for that daycare. And I was happy about that because I wasn't sending him there anyhow. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something crazy. And I'm going to quit my job. At that time, I was the breadwinner. I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to stay home. And I don't know how that's going to work, but that's going to happen. I said, because I've worked hard to have this baby, and I don't know who's going to watch him. And Dad, as he's walking, he goes, you don't know yet, because it's not time for you to know. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When your life gets interrupted with things that you don't expect and you're sitting there and you're all messed up because you don't know how it's going to get worked out, here's what you need to know. When it's time for you to know when it's going to get worked out, you'll know. You'll know. And sometimes it ain't time for you to know. It ain't time for you to know. Why? Because you would probably mess it up. Amen? About a week before I had Carson Paul, it all fell into place. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. But let me tell you something. God's never late. He's never late. Yeah, your life is going to get interrupted with trials. All of them trials are not the devil. Sometimes God is interrupting your life. And He needs you to just, okay, God. Lord, I'm going to commit to it. You do whatever you want to do. You do it how you want to do it. Lord, you do what you need to do. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 12. And it says here, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. The trial should not come to you as a surprise. Here's the Word of God, and it's telling us, do not be surprised at the trial. Why? Because God said in His Word, in this life there will be trials and there will be tribulation. He told you that they were coming. The Word of God says, don't be surprised about the trials. Don't be surprised about them. Don't be surprised about them. Why? Because you know that they come. He tells you, be of good cheer about them, actually. The trial shouldn't surprise you. God told us that we would have trial. God told us that there would be things that interrupted our life. Now I want you to think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had a plan. She was going to marry Joseph. She was engaged to Joseph. Here she is. Very wonderful young lady. She's engaged. And here there's an angel and says, okay, change of plans. You're going to actually carry the Savior of the world. That's what you're here for. And everybody's probably going to think that you're not real great because you're engaged. See, her own fiancé had to sit there and wonder, how do I get rid of her? Because not my baby. And then the Lord had to talk to him. But think about some interruptions of people that we saw in the Bible. Think about Abraham. You think he planned at his age to have all these kids? Nope. How many of you want kids when you're like 100? Brother Larry Baker's back there going, nope. Like, I don't want any more kids right now. But, see, think about interruptions. Think about them. I know that there's trials that you can go through and you feel like I will never be the same. Things will never, ever be okay again. Here's what I can tell you. They will. They will. I'm not saying what you went through or what you're going through right now isn't devastating. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But do you have the ability to move on and live for the rest of your life and feel God and let God put joy in your life and restore you and put that wholeness in you? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. God has that ability. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. As though something strange were happening to you. How many of you have ever gone through something and you took it real personal? Like, I'm going to just branch out here because we're going to go where we live. Back when I was not as mature in the Lord, there would be times where something would happen and I would think, why did God do that to me? Why did He let that happen? I've just stopped asking Him. Why? Because it really doesn't matter in the big realm of it. A lot of times when something goes on, we take it so personal. Everybody's taking everything personal, way too personal. And we go through these things in life and we think, here's what we think. A lot of times this is what believers are telling themselves. I did everything right. I did what I was supposed to do. I was a good wife. I was a good mother. I was a this. I was that. I went to church. I took my kids to church. I did what I was supposed to do. And God, you let this happen? See, sometimes we take it in a personal way. Lord, I did this and I did that. And see, we can get so caught up with telling God what we did. We don't have the vision to see God wants to make a move. See, sometimes you did, yes, you did. You did everything right. You did everything that you should. And then there was still a life interruption, a trial that came. Here's what I can tell you. I trust God with the trial. I couldn't always say that. But I trust Him with them. I trust God with the trials. There's a lot of times where I say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I know that you are. There's a lot of times where I go and get away from people and I'll just sit and I'll say, okay, Lord, now how do you want this handled? And maybe I don't have an answer the first four or five times I seek Him about it, but eventually God's going to drop it right in my spirit. See, some people quit coming back after the first try or two. Look here, you got to keep going back to the Lord. Keep going. Lord, show me what you want to do. God, show me what you want to do. Here's what God's been ministering to me here lately, Kelly. He who wins souls is wise. You know how hard it is to win a soul? You know how hard that is? Let me tell you why it's hard. Because people are involved. Didn't one of y'all work at Walmart? Do you still work at Walmart? You did though, didn't you? Wasn't that difficult? Why was it difficult? People in their rudeness. Keep preaching. How many of you know people can be something? You know how many times I've said, God, I know you're wanting me to win their soul, but that person annoys me. Can you send somebody else? That person's family doesn't like me. Can you send someone else? Lord, that person wears me out. Can you send somebody else? Let me just tell you something. He that wins souls is wise. And some of the people that have been the best blessings, I never anticipated. But I'm going to tell you, life is difficult. Life is difficult. Life is interrupted many, many times. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. We should expect trials. We should expect them. You don't have to dread them. You know God's going to take care of them. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. So God tells us to do two things here in this verse. Number one, humble yourself. And then he tells you where to put yourself when you've gotten humbled. Under God's mighty hand. Under his hand. You know, something's going to have a hard time getting at you when you're under the hand of God. Something will have a harder time getting you under the hand of God. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. One of the things that's lacked today in today's world is humility. Being humble. Being humble. Do you know how to get humble? Do you know how to get humble? Do you know it all? How many of you know it all? If you don't know one, you probably are one. Right? Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Here's a promise after this, that he may lift you up in due time. In due time. See, some people are saying, well, God, how long is this trial lasting? How long am I going to have to go through this? How long is this going to last? And I'm going to tell you something, it's got an expiration date. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It's not lasting forever. And that's what you need to know about the interruption, about the trial. It's not lasting forever. It's going to last till the very last second that it's supposed to be there. The very last moment, and then bam. In due time, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How many of you got anxiety problems? Okay, we're keeping it real here. Can I really keep it real? See, sometimes I'm like, how real can we keep this? People are so touchy-feely. I'm going to hear about this comment later. Half the church is leaving over it. They're offended. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I'm going to keep this where we live. Here it is. Here's where the rubber meets the road. If you've got anxiety, you're actually listening to somebody that preaches, and I have anxiety all the time. Okay? Listen to me. I don't allow it to take over my life. I don't allow it to stop me in my tracks. A few years ago, well, actually, about 14 years ago, after I had this kid, I was eating a peanut M&M. How many of y'all like those? I like them. Well, I used to. I hate them now. But I was eating one after I had just had him, and I bit into one, and my tooth, I could feel my heartbeat in my tooth, my front tooth. And it never stopped. I went to the dentist and they were like, you've got an abscessed tooth. I'd never had one before. I would rather have a kid again over having one of those. Because the things that they had to do to get that straightened out were very uncomfortable and painful. And I had just had a child. And I'd rather have a kid all over again than do that. So I get there and I get home. This is no lie. Absolutely no exaggeration. I started thinking, I am not lying. I started thinking, that's where I went wrong, about what would happen if the other tooth right beside it started doing the same thing. And guess what happened? It did. Oh. back to the dentist I went. This, we're talking in a matter of 5 days, okay? Just had a kid. Postpartum depression, all that, and you get it, start getting abscess teeth after this is real fun. Total basket case. Get in the dentist chair. Here we are again. Second thing. Go home. I'm really cursing those M&Ms at this point. Got in the recliner. Lean back. I started thinking again. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm not lying. This is a true story. I literally started thinking again about what would happen if it happened again. And it did. The third abscessed tooth in the front of my mouth in like 5 days. Where am I going with this? I'm going to keep this so real. This is either going to offend you or you're going to agree with it. But at the end of the day, this is going to be truth. Cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. We have a generation of people that use anxiety for everything they don't want to do. Every single thing. I've got anxiety. I can't do this. I've got anxiety. I can't go here. That's funny because it don't keep you out of the bar or the JCPenney or wherever you want to go, but you will let anxiety keep you of everywhere you should go. Don't tell me about anxiety. If you want to come up with a reason not to come to church, you come up with something else to tell your pastor. Because let me tell you, you ain't got any more person that's a little bit more anxious than me because I'm like a little flea. I mean, my little brain is just gets all over the place. But by golly, that's not stopping me down because I will do it anxious. Now, if you've got anxiety and you're offended about this, I want you to work on that. Because, see, the Word of God tells you, cast the anxiety. Cast it. Cast it. See, why do we have such a generation that's so anxiety-filled? Because we've allowed it to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our life. We've let it dictate where we go. We've let it be an excuse of why we can't do things. I don't buy it. I just don't. Why? Because I have anxiety and I don't let it do that. A couple of weeks ago, there was a little chick, and she was working in the food line at Wednesday. I'll let anybody volunteer. Why? Because I'm a people person. We'll go there. About 5 minutes into it, this is no joke, about 5 minutes into the food thing, she just up and leaves. I said, where'd she go? Somebody said, well, she said she had too much anxiety. She can't handle this. By that evening, Jack, the truth had come about. She just didn't like the food we had that day. Now, I'm almost 40. I'll be 40 May the 30th. My mom is back there. She's telling it. I don't even drive past the dentist's office. I got a new dentist this past year, and I told him, I looked him dead in the face, and I said, you've got literally one shot with me. That's it. He is the best dentist I have ever had in my life, and I like him. And he did a lot of work on me, and I thought it was all great, and I didn't have any pain whatsoever. It's the best experience I've ever had. But when I feel my mind want to even start thinking about any abscessed teeth, I stop that thought. I don't drive past the dentist's office. Why? Because we ain't going there again with that. Now, I know you may think I'm lying, but I'm not. Life will interrupt you in a lot of ways. Trust God with the interruption. Trust Him with them. I've been in those places in life where I said, God, I don't think I'm ever going to be okay again. God, I don't see how anything ever could go good again. Lord, I don't know how this is going to be worked out. God, everything's over. It's just all bad now. But God. But He stepped in. I don't like the interruptions when they come, but I have learned to really just trust the Lord with them, because here's what I know. Whatever God allows to enter into my life, He's going to bless me the whole time through it. Why? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. Last place for me. I'm going to actually finish this. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. See, some of you have had a lot stolen out of your life. God is in the restoration business. It is what He does. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. In this food ministry, I've met some of the best people in the whole world. One of those people, and y'all probably know her, and I don't think you shouldn't mention names unless you're going to say something bad about them, then you shouldn't mention those names. But if you're going to say something good, I think it's all right. So I'm going to today. One of the best people I know is Miss Isla Cummins. If you don't know who she is, on Monday nights, she's on our Facebook page, and she's the little lady that usually I have cutting tomatoes because that's what she likes. She is 96 years old. Okay? She can do circles around anybody in this room. Guarantee you. Larry, isn't that the truth? She's amazing. She looks like she's in her 70s, but she is 96. Okay? She still has her original vehicles. They're still in mint condition. I'm not kidding. They still have the plastic on them, on the seats. And she was married to her husband. He went to be with the Lord probably about 6 months ago. They were married for like 70-something years. That's something that you just hardly don't ever see. And when she lost her husband, I could tell. She would come through the food line on Wednesdays, and I could just tell she was just devastated. Because who wouldn't be when you've spent your entire life with somebody, and you've built that life with them, and then that's gone. And I said, Miss Cummins, I could certainly use some help on Monday. Is there any way you could start coming and helping me? I need all the help I can get. But I could see she was sad. And I knew, Moni, if we could get her here, we could help her get happier again. And she started coming. You can see her every Monday afternoon. She has a little pep in her step. And it's like the highlight of her day. I've asked her what she does to her skin and how she's just looks amazing at 96 years old. She has a cane. She walked in here a couple weeks ago. And I said, how are you doing? And she said, you know, there's some things that aren't going right, but I am not letting those things slow me down. I want to leave you with that. I want you to stop focusing on what's not going right, because let me tell you, if God has allowed an interruption in your life, it has a purpose. You may not understand that purpose right now. By and by, you will. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I ask right now that you would encourage every heart. Lord, we thank you for everything that's been accomplished in this service. Lord, I ask that you'd bless people. Lord, keep them. Make your face to shine upon them. And God, give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We will hope to see you tonight at 5:30. We do have some food.